Hello, welcome to Kotaku Split Screen Podcast, the podcast where we take on video games one incredibly specific topic at a time. I am your host, Uncle Fahey, Michael Fahey, Evil Fahey, whatever you want. I am joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Lisa Marie Segarra. Damn it, fuck.
There was an attempt. Hello, Uncle Fahey.
One day I will roll those R's. And also, Ethan Gatch.
Hello, hello. I will never one day roll those R's. my ninth grade Spanish teacher is still giving me dirty looks from across the room.
It's weird that she's should, in your
you
house.
You should have her tied up in a chair in your house.
It's Halloween.
Yes, it is Halloween, and that's why I was talking in a spooky Halloween voice.
I thought that was just your voice.
A little bit is. I'm still recovering from COVID. My voice is still a little screwed up. I figured I'd lean into it. But this week's topic is fear, frightening games, scary things, Halloween. It's our split screen, Kotaku split screen, Halloween, dare I say spectacular? No, I will not say spectacular, except for those two times, and I'll never say it again.
I kind of liked it.
No, we're not going to say spectacular. Okay. Fuck, I ruined it again.
Third time.
Okay. Fright Fest. It is our Fright Fest. Anyway, this week, because it's Halloween, this weekend, we're going to be celebrating scary games. We're going to be talking about some of the things we've been for Halloween. But we're going to start off with games that scare us personally. Now, it's not necessarily have to be horror games. There can be games that scare you because of their atmosphere or certain things that happen in them. It doesn't have to be Fatal Frame, which terrifies me, or Resident Evil, which terrifies me, or Pokemon, which terrifies me.
Is it because of, like, the ethics? Like, what's happening in those Pokeballs? Because that does freak me out.
I think about it way too much. And before we get into the main discussion here, I do want to say something about New World. I'm playing New World, which is Amazon's, it's their not colonial, I'm using air quotes, RPG. And I've been noticing something where all these villages surrounding your little settlement are populated by these evil wraiths. But the evil wraiths are going about their business, like farming and mining, and we're murdering them and taking their stuff. And it almost feels like they're just people that Amazon decided to depict as wraiths, and we're invading their lands. And sometimes when I play nowadays, I make little noises like, no, don't take our crops, please, my family needs it. And while they're desperately trying to kill me to get me to get off their land. And so that kind of scares me. I've scared myself with that game. But let's talk about games that do scare us without our imagination kind of painting them over and making us nuts. Ethan, I want to start with Ethan today. Ethan, I want to know what scares you because I
just want to interject right there because it's somewhat timely.
Okay,
but that's basically, I'm going to speculate that maybe that was a mid-production pivot on the Amazon Game Studios part to try and avoid. I don't know. Someone was like, wait a second. What are the themes of this game? We should maybe. All right, let's make it ghosts or something.
Right, can we just turn the villagers into ghosts? They barely even tried.
But there's a very similar. That was a very similar thing back in the early days of Destiny. Because for people who aren't familiar with the basic lore of Destiny, it takes place in a far-flung future solar system where there is a strange alien force that is, creates these little robot things called ghosts that resurrect, dead people, and they become like superheroes. But because of the mechanics of the game, you're spending most of it killing other aliens for their loot. And so there used to be all this sort of like, I don't know, there's probably a technical term for like fan lore or like meta lore, but like there is these sort of like second, there's this like other level of narrative that players had kind of created around like pretending or like, you know, thinking that they had heard different aliens like whisper like certain things before you kill them. Like, the copypasta or stuff, but like creepypasta, but like, yeah, it was basically like, you know, there's a sense of like, what if we're the baddies and what if, you know, we are ghosts? What if we're actually like terrible zombies, space zombies going about killing people and really were the terrible ones. And it was this sort of like early, like, oh, what if there's like a lost ending here or something? None of that came to be. There's still wrinkles of some of that in the storytelling today, but it's just interesting to see that sort of like similar pivot of like, wait a second, what if we're the real ghosts?
But this,
what was the question?
This doesn't get you out of the main question, which is what games scare you?
Okay,
what scares you, Ethan, so I can make my plan?
Fester's Quest on the NES used to terrify me.
Really?
Not because the game itself is scary, but I was very risk averse as a child. I mean, I'm still pretty risk averse, but, and then I figured what's the psychological term for like, I guess it's loss averse or, but you know, when the sense of like people are more they're more afraid of losing what they have. Than they are motivated by gaining potentially what they could.
Yeah. And so I think risk averse is the cinematic universe based on the board game Risk.
Ba-ting. We need the drum, the thing. So that terrified me just because it's a notoriously terrible game. And I forget, was it the Angry Gamer or Angry Nerd or Nerd Gamer?
Angry Video Game Nerd. Child watches him and my child's 10, which is probably a mistake. But anyway.
So like decades ago, he had a whole episode about it. But like, it was just, there was a whole slew of NES games that I was terrified to put in my NES. Like it was my brother's NES. He'd be at school. I'd be home. And I'd be like, okay, what game do I want to play? And then I could like pop in anything. But I was terrified of putting certain ones in because I was just afraid of dying. Like, even within the first 5 minutes, like I was just like, "Oh no, I'm dead! I lost all that progress. Like that's terrible," and that was like a whole thing. There was like that level of fear of games, and then there were the like actual horror games, like when Resident Evil came out, like more in the PlayStation era. My cousin was really into Resident Evil, and my older brother was really into Parasite Eve, and there's a couple nights of just Parasite Eve is I think even a spookier version of Resident. Like obviously Resident Evil was creepy back in the day, but I think Square was really good at this sort of cinematic world building that maybe gave Parasite Eve a little more oomph, or maybe it's just because
there's a lot more tension in Parasite Eve. It was a lot more suspenseful.
You weren't as like just sort of like lonely, like exploring a house. There's this kind of, yeah, there's a very tense narrative. But it's so honestly, I basically steered away from horror games and other games that might frighten me because I just hate that emotion. I can't watch horror movies. I really have barely played the modern Resident Evils, in part because I'm super squeamish and I cannot look at blood and like needles and gore and like things popping out of other things and fleshy things. So it's like
body horror.
I still hold up the pillow in front of my face. Like, so actually, to go on a total tangent, my partner and I just started watching
Grey's Anatomy.
Fringe. Close.
Fringe. The Harvard based with Pacey from Dawson's Creek.
Yes, and I think it's again to go back to Lost. The Lost guy I'm terrible with names. Who did Star Trek? What's the director's name?
Oh gosh. Oh fudge. Oh, he did Star Trek.
J.J. Abrams.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think he produced it. And then, like, it was kind of basically, it was like, what if you took the people behind Lost and they made the X-Files in a post-9/11 world where, like, everyone's freaked out by terrorists and Homeland Security can do whatever it wants. But so I thought this was mostly just going to be like a paranormal, spooky science, like, cop show. Mm-hmm. But there's actually, like, the main guy who is the Lord of the Rings Minas Tirith king, whose name I can't remember. He, you know, the actor, he plays the main guy, but he's like a biologist. And so most of the monster of the week type things are all body oriented and like people doing experiments and needles and shock therapy and like, you know, cutting people open. And so that was, so to good, you know, come full circle. So I'm constantly like looking the other way as we watch that. And my partner's like, are you sure we don't have to? And I'm like, well, we could put on the morning show on Apple TV. And she's like, Nope. We're going to keep watching this. So I don't do horror well. But I do like spooky games. I like games that have a creepy atmosphere, but not jump scares or gore or things that leave me feeling like an intense feeling of dread or just like lack of like hope in the world, because that like sits with me very deeply and will follow me for days, and then I will be like just terribly messed up.
I am the exact opposite. I am not really at all squeamish. I do watch Grey's Anatomy, which has like surgery scenes. Also, like, I have never really been squeamish around blood or needles. Like, I never care when my blood gets taken. I have multiple piercings, tattoos, so like, and every time they're like, are you okay? Like, do you need someone to hold your hand? I'm like, it's a fucking needle. No, it's tiny. That's just me. I love horror movies, especially like random, gory, like campy ones. Live for it. And I love living in a feeling of existential dread, because that is how I feel all the time. So what's a movie going to do? Nothing.
So it's interesting. There, like, for me, there's like, there's somehow a distinction between like something that's very ominous and sort of like doom filled and something like, I remember seeing 28 Days Later. I think I saw it in theaters, but which was like one of the earlier new wave zombie movies based on the screenplay by Alex Garland, who also did The Beach starring Leonardo DiCaprio. And there was a grimness to that movie where it was like, there's no, like, escape, really. It's just like things just get worse.
It's hopeless.
I think there's actually like, there's multiple cuts of the ending, and there's one cut where it's just like, it doesn't, you know, things don't get better. They don't escape. And somehow that, like, is just like the fatalism of that combined with like just the body horror, just like, oof, it dooms me.
I think it's the fact that overall, I'm a pretty positive person, so allowing myself to feel those things feels really good. And especially nowadays, it feels like, whatever, it's zombies, it's not real. So I'm very, it's a lot easier for me to separate that. I think what's more depressing is like our response to the pandemic. Like, that is a real thing that is so much worse. So bring on the zombie movie.
Yeah, for me, I used to be squeamish about blood. I am not squeamish about stuff on my own body. Since I've become paralyzed, I've gone through all sorts of procedures and weird things. So my body is not exactly how it was before I started. Parts of it won't move. When you're paralyzed from the chest down, or from the waist down, I guess, too, if your legs aren't moving, they sometimes will weep. Your legs will weep fluid, because the circulation isn't great down there. So I've kind of gotten used to horrible things happening to my body. I still cannot stand horrible things happening to other bodies. I watch a lot of medical shows. I sometimes watch Grey's. I watch The Resident. I watch The Good Doctor. When something gross happens in there, I do have to pull the sheet up over my face. I'm like, nope, not looking at that, not looking at that. But if it's on me, like at this point, I'm just like, whatever, I guess my body's just falling apart. Woo. But Lisa Marie, what games scare you?
Okay, I have a list. Stuff like Resident Evil 2 and 3, but not the new ones. The new ones are not scary. But 2 and 3, where it's like dark and something could pop out at me at any point, scare. Chocobo's Dungeon, which was from like 2000 or something. Because it has like a little chocobo, but in a dungeon and it's dark. Chocobo, like, no matter how powered up you make him, like, he's little and I want to protect him. And I feel like he's not ready for this dungeon, but I have to keep going down further and further. Scary. GTA Online with the voice chat on. Specifically with voice chat on. Stuff like Dead Space, same idea as like the Resident Evil 2, 3, like era. Don't Starve, because I'll be like, I made all this progress and now I'm gonna die. Oh no, why? Scary. So the part in Uncharted where things like get weird and like there are mutants coming at me and they'll just like jump out at nowhere, especially I think it's like what, 2, where they're like really loud and yell while they're running at you. And I'm like, oh my God, where are you coming from? Why are you going to stop spawning? Like, ah, it's a lot. Like, I don't know. Henchmen are fine, but you're on fire. What is up with that? Scary. Doki Doki Literature Club. I think that's self-explanatory.
Yeah, you didn't play that until after I wrote the thing.
Yeah. I, like, edited a story Fahey wrote about it. It was, like, spoiler-free, just, like, about how, like, they are updating the, like,
the
content
warnings.
Yeah. And I, like, knew it was going to be dark. And I was, like, I got out of it, and I was, like, I don't feel okay, like, mentally.
Yeah,
like, I'm first, okay, but, like,
that first screen, when the thing happens, it's just like, okay, I need to step away for a second here.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that. My childhood crush person to, yeah. Anyway, we won't say what happened there.
Just, like, that whole, like, second half, basically, after, like, it basically takes a bit of a turn, is just, like, progressing, like, scary vibes. I loved it. I think it's great if you can handle that stuff. Obviously, I'm not that squeamish, and, like, it definitely gave me an unsettling feeling, but I was okay playing. If that's okay for you, it's really interesting. But if it's not, don't play.
Yeah, I find that any anime game where they suddenly depict death and you're not ready for it, like, Danganronpa, which I knew had people being murdered in it, you get to a dead body, and I'm like, whoa, no, these are cartoon people, and they're happy and having fun and hanging out, and, oh, now they're dead, and that's not good. I don't like...
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you stumble upon drawings of dead people on DeviantArt, you're like, okay, there's something wrong with them.
Oh,
why are they doing that?
Whoa. And my partner was watching me play and kind of knew it and, like, was following along. And, like, after that turn, he's like, it just feels weird that the music is still so upbeat. Like, oh my God, I know. I actually really love the soundtrack. But it, yeah, it's, I mean, it's so, it's really well done, but scary vibes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll go ahead and chime in here. For games that scare me, and I've kind of made this realization over the past couple of weeks, I was playing a game called Murder House. Because the Switch icon was horrible. And it came out last year, and it's based on kind of like VHS horror from the 80s. And the style is like low-poly horror. It's like PlayStation 1 era 3D, like Clock Tower, where you can't quite make out who the people are or what they're doing, and there's kind of like a bit left open to your imagination. Like the graphics were so... They were trying to be realistic, but they couldn't quite make it. So that makes it more horrible for me. Murder House has that vibe where you're just like, it's almost like they're fleshed out stick figures moving around and then someone comes to murder them. Alone in the Dark, the very first one, not any of the remakes or the U-Bowl movie, Uwe Boll. Nightmare Creatures was another one, PlayStation era game where you're playing an adventurer who hunts down monsters in a dark dungeon. Things aren't quite defined, and I still have nightmares about games like those all the time. And I like this. Who makes Murder House? It's Puppets.
Puppets made this game? Now that's scary.
No. Let me check my keyboard so I can... Puppets. Puppet Combo. It says one person dev called Puppet Combo, and they love 80s horror and VHS horror. And they tapped into that. They found, like, the exact thing that scares me. And I was actually playing with my son the other day. And it's a scary Easter Bunny comes out and starts pursuing you. And I had to pause it. And he goes, we're never playing this game again. You're not allowed to play this game anymore. I was like, really? He's like, no more.
I love that he has such a strong sense of self where he's like, no, I'm good.
Good. Seamus really knows what he likes and doesn't like, and he will. For some reason, my kids are scared of the 1970s Viacom jingle. It's like da 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 da. If I play that on YouTube, they'll run out of the room.
Mean. I'm terrified of the dial-up sound.
Oh, really? The
yeah. I mean, also, like, if someone was, like, on the computer and you called them, you would get that. And that's what really, like, triggers me. Thinking about, like, being on the phone, getting ready to talk to a friend, and getting that horrifying sound, unsettling. No.
Ethan, what other games scare you? You know you have more than one.
Well, so, I was all of these are going to date me, but I remember when I first bought Vagrant Story for the PS1 and brought it home and was like expecting a very certain kind of JRPG, and then the game starts out. I mean, the whole thing basically takes place in this ghost and zombie infested like ruins of a city that I think underwent an earthquake or whatever, and you're chasing down this what's the like satanic guy who is up to no good. But the first couple hours are very like you're deep in this dark dungeon and there are these skeletons and like these corpses that will just get up off the ground and start running after you. And it wasn't like terrifying or anything, but I just remember being just like very weighed down by the atmosphere and was like, I don't know. Like I was looking for like some knights and fantasy stuff. Like I love Final Fantasy Tactics. I don't know if I could go through a whole game of this. Yeah. It's now one of my probably at least top 10 games ever, but I just remember I like literally almost put that game down and probably would have like sold it back to EB and just never played it again. Then another thing I was remembering was in speaking of dungeons, in Mega Man Legends, you are constantly going down to these archaeological dig sites where there are these ancient like robots and stuff called Reaverbots. And there was one in particular, you know, these rooms were sometimes vast, and it was actually, you know, to the benefit that the draw distance could not light up the entire room and show you everything. And so you just like enter this one area, and then, you know, this like robot on legs with these drill arms would just start running at you. And because of the camera and the other stuff, it was like always hard to move. And like, it just was always like, it was like just enough of a jump scare without being like terrifying, but also being like freaking me the fuck out. And I would need to get out of there because they would also kill you. And it would be a pain in the ass. So those scared me, but in a good way. I like that was like my level of like horror. Like this is perfect.
I actually have one more. One of the scariest games I ever played has there's nothing frightening about it really, but it was the Elder Scrolls 1 Arena.
Oof.
And for some reason, while playing that game, it was the first person perspective. It was a little bit of the shadows in there. It was the fact that I was in control, and for the first time, it kind of felt like I was the person playing. So I hadn't really played many first-person games with free movement. I mean, I think I played Wolfenstein before that. I don't know which. Wolfenstein. Sorry. That was like a very specific environment with very set ways, but the arena lets you look around, and there was freedom and a little bit of free roaming. There wasn't anything saying go to this level and get done so you could get lost. And that just, from someone who hadn't been used to first-person games, I mean, now, what, 20 years later, 25 years later, whatever, you know, we're all used to them. But back then, it was fresh and new, and it was just like, I guess it was kind of like someone going into VR nowadays. It was like, holy crap, this is so real, right, yeah. I can't. And like a monster would attack, and I'd be like, nope, turn off the computer. Cannot play this anymore. I'm gonna go outside and play in the leaves. Because I guess I wasn't that young. I was probably 16, 17 when that came out. No, I was 18 or 19. Damn it, I'm old, guys. You know what?
Yeah, I was about to say, actually, the first Elder Scrolls also scares me, finding out that you are old enough to have played it. Terrifying.
Well, thanks. And on that note, let's go ahead and take a break.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
And we're back with the second part of Kotaku Split Screen's Fright Fest Spectacular Spooky Thing for Halloween.com.org. On the second
Someone
segment.
Buy that.
What?
Someone buy that quick.
In this segment, we're going to be talking about, we talked about games that scare us, but let's talk about spooky game recommendations. I mean, this goes out on Friday. You have the whole weekend to play. You'll have Sunday to hide inside your house with the lights out so you can keep all the candy and not give it to children. So what will you play during that time? Who has a spooky game recommendation for these fine, fine people?
What about Alan Wake was just remastered. I feel like that's got a good, like, spooky vibe.
Oh, Alan Wake is actually perfect. All taking place in the dark with a flashlight. Talking about games that scared me. I mean, it didn't scare me as much, but it scared me a lot. And that's a great game that's out now. If you haven't played it before, man, you are in for a treat.
Yeah, it was just remastered. Like, great timing, honestly. I haven't, like, fully dived into it yet, but I am very excited to do that for spooky season.
Mr. Gatch?
So I have two. Now, you're going to have to help me out here.
Okay.
Because I know you know these games. Yomiwari Night Alone it's a spiritual successor to another game, right? Wasn't there a game before that by Nippon?
Yomiwari.
Was the Vita game, like, overhead view. Do you remember this one?
I do, but give me a second here. I'm going to actually, because I think, where is my freaking keyboard? Yomiwari, Night Alone. And I think it was the successor to...
It's like Hot it was like H-O-T-L Firefly.
Hot Link Firefly. Yeah, it's Hot Link or something like that. And they also have a sequel. There's Yomiwari Night Alone, Yomiwari Midnight Shadows. And it was Hot Link, the Firefly something. It was spelled really weird.
And is that one also on PC?
I don't know if...
I can't remember. So Yomiwari, both those games are on PC and Switch. And basically, it's... you're a little girl exploring her neighborhood, which is full of ghosts, and you just have to avoid them. And you're looking for objects and trying to. It's just kind of like an adventure game, but But you're navigating these stealth patrol paths and stuff. And just, I really love the art and the music. And it's, again, one of those creepy games that, to me, like, the quintessential. I don't know, creepy experience is just like going for a walk in the evening in the fall. And it's just kind of like, I don't know why, but there's always been something that I've enjoyed about that part of the Halloween experience. And this game is perfect because it's not, you know, not super scary or anything, but is just very foreboding. And also very, if you're able to finish it, is also very delightfully human tale of mortality and discovery. But yeah, they're both very, very good and still accessible on modern platforms. Although, well, it used to be that you could, for the OLED, you could only get it on the Vita, but you could get it on the Switch now. So no excuses. They should actually, hopefully, I think they might have even done a trilogy package for the Switch, but definitely.
Yeah,
if I find that, I can put that in the show notes.
Firefly's Diary, which is stylized as a HTOL #NIQ. Is out on PC. It came out on PC in 2016, I want to say. So that's out there, too.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, no, those are great. And I get what you say about walking outside in the fall. And I think it's something about, you know, the leaves. The smell of the leaves is nice and comforting. But it's also kind of death, you know? It's like... yeah.
Literally smell nature's death.
Yeah,
that
nature's
was
dying.
So metal.
Oh my goodness. I need to suggest a game now, don't I?
Yes.
I'm gonna go ahead. I kind of want to suggest Murder House. It's a little $12 game for the Switch. I came out for the Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox this past week. I was out for the PC last year. If you really want to experience what I'm talking about when I talk about low poly horror, it's quick, it's accessible, it's right there. It's made by one guy with a little help on music and some other situations. It's creepy and unique. And I like supporting, you know, small developers. I like that, you know, there might not be some big budget thing with flashy, you know, photorealistic graphics, but it doesn't need to be entertaining and to be frightening. And play it in a dark room and you'll be completely fucked up. Seriously.
There was that PS1 horror itch.io bundle recently. Was that this year or last year? I'll have to look up. There was some set of very short, like 30-minute experiences that all kind of revolved around the low poly horror thing. But yeah.
Is the icon the same on like PlayStation and Xbox?
Should be. But people nice. Don't complain as much.
Yeah, that makes sense. I actually have a couple other recs that are also
Go ahead.
In the indie vein.
All this space.
So these are ones that I have also been like starting recently, and they're pretty short as well. So the first one is Rusty Lake. They're a developer that does a lot of escape room games.
Yes.
Love it.
I've played many Rusty Lake games. Rusty, the creepy vibe is so good.
Oh my God. It's amazing. And they're really clever. They're like escape room games. And for a while, I was super into escape room games. I also love doing escape rooms in real life. And I've done like a couple spooky ones this month. So the first one is Cube Escape. That one's more in depth and it's a little bit longer. So I suggest doing that one last. There's also Samsara Room, which is kind of like a little bit of a shorter version of Cube Escape, but very similar. And White Door, which is a little bit more existential. There's a little bit more of a plot behind it. Super interesting. And they are a pretty small studio. They also, these games are on mobile. I played them on mobile and they work very well on mobile. So super accessible, really affordable as well. Definitely check them out.
Rusty Lake, Paradise Hotel, and Roots are also on Steam. They are $2.99 to $3.99. You can get a bundle of Rusty Lake games on Steam for $17.99. That includes the Cube Escape Collection and the White Door. So huge amount of horror and creepiness in one bundle there on Steam. Look at me selling like I'm on QVC.
No, they are like really delightful. And like I said, very clever. Like they've got like puzzling with like that creepy element. So fun. Another one is Oxenfree, which I've been diving more into because the sequel is supposed to come out, I think, next year. So yeah. That's really fun. Definitely got a creepy vibe going. And the other one that I have like just started is Gone Home.
Oh, yes. I was going to say that's perfect.
Yeah.
Do you like it so far?
Yeah, I've like barely started. I've actually been going through, I have like a goal to finish like as many games as possible this year. So I've been playing a ton of games and like going through a ton of games that I've like left and haven't finished. So I've been all over the place with my gaming. But yeah.
Mike, do you have any other recs? I got a couple more I can throw out.
I have a couple more. Let me see. Do I have a couple more?
I feel like you must. You know so much.
I'm so scared. Well, I mean, they did recently release a remaster of the Fatal Frame. Oh my gosh, what's the last name of the Fatal Frame? Oh, yeah, Fatal Frame Maiden of Blackwater. Is a Fatal Frame game that came out a few years back on the Wii, I think it was. And it was the whole Fatal Frame series is almost impossible to actually acquire nowadays. It came out on the PlayStation, the first three. Terrified the hell out of me. Not so much jump scares in that as there are... it's more subtle, like You'll have a character walking through the woods and there'll be a hand on their shoulder. You think it's like their sister and then it pans to a different, she looks back and there's nothing back there. So it's not so much a jump scare as it is kind of like a suspenseful setup. But all those games are about capturing ghosts that you can only see through a camera. And it's weird. I don't like having my vision obscured. And that's kind of like one of the keys to the whole franchise. But that's out now. I think it's PlayStation. Let me see here. It's out for the... Yeah, it was 2014 on the Wii U, so no one played that fucker. So it's out for the PlayStation. Why is it not showing? Oh, PlayStation, Xbox One, Xbox Series S, and the Switch, and PC on Steam, so everyone can play it. In fact, I'm going to go to Steam and add it to my thing right now. Fatal Frame is spooky as hell. And hopefully, I've heard reports that because of the response to the Maiden in Blackwater release this past couple of weeks, the producer is thinking of finding out or looking into more re-releases, which would make that old series much easier to find, which is necessary and should be done.
That honestly makes me so happy. I truly get overjoyed when I hear about, like, things getting, like, a good response, and then they're encouraged, like, financially to actually have the means to start putting out stuff that is lost to the ages or the Wii U, and I love it. I love to see it.
Yeah, it's like everyone's making a big deal about these Grand Theft Auto re-releases coming soon, but, I mean, I've played all of those. They've been re-released everywhere. Fatal Frame is nearly impossible to find. I want that. I want things that that I couldn't play before that are suddenly made available without having to, you know, go steal them from somebody. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
I actually have a scary game recommendation question. So I have been saving this because I was hoping we would do this type of episode.
Oh, okay,
and
cool.
I want to know your opinion on if I should play Five Nights at Freddy, because obviously there's a question of, like, the guy behind it being shitty, and, like, I've also heard it's good. Is it that good? Is it worth it? What are your takes? Not to get too deep into discourse.
Ethan, have you played Five Nights at Freddy's?
No, I've never. I think I might have gotten one of them in a Humble Bundle or something at some point, and, like, gave it a spin for, like, 30 minutes, but I've never, outside of, like, no, I've never really messed with them enough to say. And also, that's, like, not my kind of thing. I mean, that was one of what my cousins back in the day got a Sega CD and Home Invasion. Night Trap was there, and it was just like, I was like, man, this is like snuff level, like, how this has to be illegal. Like, is this real? Is this happening somewhere right now? Like, I was like, I don't know, 6 or 7. Absolutely terrified me. I was like, nope, no thank you.
You in Congress. No, I've played Five Nights at Freddy's. I've played a few of the games. I've played in some of the spinoffs. And it's jump scare bullshit, as far as I'm concerned. I guess there's an art to jump scares, but it's such an easy art that, I mean, it's the video game equivalent of hiding behind the door and then popping out and going boo. Which, I mean, I guess, and people like it. I think fans have taken it much farther than the developer has, and they've, you know, created their own legend behind it. And it's kind of like it ties into our fandom episode. They've taken that series far beyond anything I'm sure even Scott Cawthon, whatever his name is, the donator to Trump's campaign. They've taken it far beyond anything he ever imagined. And I think for the longest time he's been playing catch up on his own series, trying to keep up with the fans. So it's nice that I guess he's letting other people extend the story now. So maybe that'll come into something. But really, jump scary. It's like you're in a room, you can't move, things are coming for you, unless you see them on the camera and you could stop them somehow. But nope, they're coming for you.
So Mike, how much have you played of them? Is it all the same sort of jump scare?
There are different, you know, you're in different places, but I mean, it's mainly, it mainly is they're coming for you, stop them.
Because the one, I don't know if there's like a technical name for this type of like jump scare, or if people even consider a jump scare, but like there's a thing M. Night Shyamalan does, or at least did in a few movies, where there's a shot and your attention is drawn to one part of the subject matter in the shot. But then it's revealed in some other part you're not paying attention to that there's a thing. And just like it could be someone coming over a hill or whatever. Like, and I think in The Happening, there's like a gun barrel that slowly points out of a window that's like towards the far left of the frame. And it's just there's this weird, creepy invasion of like your focus that is just like, I don't know, is very interesting to me. There's a couple of those, like the famous one in Signs, where like the alien is just like in a crowd and then just like pops out or something, and it's like barely a jump scare, but it's just like it's subdued enough to be creepy. But I don't know if Five Nights at Freddy's does anything more interesting in terms of that type of stuff, like, or if it's just all like
it's not that creative. It is not as, I mean, that M. Night Shyamalan, no matter what you feel about his movies, he has a certain artistry about what he does, even if he thinks he's way more clever than he actually is. But,
Wow.
Also, they have...
M. Night, if you're listening, I love you. Please keep making films.
Yeah.
M. Night is not listening.
You don't know that. I'm in Philly. He's actually he's selling his one of his mansions in Philly right now. So
hey, I love Unbreakable, by the way. Unbreakable is one of my favorite movies.
Very they're terrifying. There's a home invasion in that as well. That is terrifying.
I used to love the home invasion.
Yeah, I'm buying my I'm moving into my first home next week, so I'm terrified of home invasion. So let's not talk about them.
Okay, moving on. I was obsessed. Like, I am with Grey's Anatomy now, with The Sixth Sense when I was, like, seven, eight. Like, I watched it nearly every day for a summer because, like, I was staying with my aunt and she didn't have cable, but she had The Sixth Sense on DVD. So I watched it almost daily. I had, like, every line memorized. Also, in all of the shots, if there was a ghost present, there would be something red, and I knew how to pick it out in every single detail. I knew, like, all of the extended, like, deleted scenes. It was a problem. But also, another example besides the red is Hill House does that. A lot of times in the house, there is a ghost that you can kind of see in almost every shot in the background, which fans have, like, loved combing over and, like, enhancing shots and, like, upping the contrast to find fun.
I will say two other quick recommendations for me is Play Dead's Limbo and Inside, which are not, they're not necessarily horror games, but there's definitely horror elements and a lot of death and also creepiness. And I think it would be perfect to play over the weekend if you haven't played them before, or if you, it's been a long time. Limbo especially is very, it's like, I'm trying to think of like what kind of puzzle game. It's like in an Edward Gorey universe, but both of those are also up my alley in terms of being like sort of gothy, but not actual straight horror. Even though I get, you know, you're a kid who gets, but I mean, Limbo's pretty dark. I'll take all that back.
You're a little boy who gets murdered a lot in Limbo, murdered a lot. That spider, that first time the spider cops out.
Oh, so good.
Wait, there's a spider too? Why didn't you mention that?
Oh. I forgot about the spider. That's like,
I never forget about the spider.
That's actually, I think, the scariest part of Resident Evil 3. There's like a spider-like thing. I wanted to die while playing it. The worst.
Yeah, that'll be my final horror recommendation for this segment. Will be a game called Kill It With Fire, which is a game where you're just, there's spiders everywhere. And you have to murder them. You walk through your house, like you might lift up the toilet seat and there's a spider underneath it. And he just released an update. The reason I say this is because he just released the Australian update. He calls it the Australia update, where they're bigger and more aggressive. So feel free to download that from Steam and pee all over yourself. Spiders are a lot more fun. I'll tell you what, a fear of spiders is a lot more fun when you used to be 6 foot five and now you're paralyzed and stuck in one place. I seeing a spider now is just like, oh God.
Right, that's the classic, like, someone's, like, chained down somewhere and a tarantula starts crawling across their face.
Yes, that old chestnut. I am uncomfortable. Since everyone's uncomfortable now, let's take a little break.
Thank you.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And we're back for our final segment for this scary, spooky, spectacular Halloween scary spook fest. Can I say spook enough? It's spooking everything. We're just going to wrap up with, we want to know what we have been for Halloween, and feel free to discuss in the comments somewhere what you've been for Halloween, but this is about us and not about you guys. I'm sure you've been cooler things for Halloween, But we're here to talk about what we have been for Halloween. And I will start. The scariest thing I was ever for Halloween was it's a costume I call the New York Werewolf. And it was an I Love New York t-shirt that my stepfather brought to me. I was around 13. And a werewolf mask that I got from a Halloween store that was bent, so his nose always went to the right. It was okay, so maybe it was a cheap costume. But but when you're 13 years old and you're 6 foot six or 6 foot five, sorry, and you can't put on a costume anymore, you can't buy one at the store, you work with what you have. Okay.
I'm sorry, you were how tall? What?
I was 13 and I was 6 foot five.
So tall.
I mean, at my tallest, I was 6 foot six. I mean, now I'm like 3 foot something, depending on the height of the bed. But
I think you once told me you're taller than me sitting down.
My inseam, I'm 6 foot five or six, depending, and my inseam is 34. Well, 32, 34 to 32, depending on my weight. It fluctuates. My spouse, who is a foot smaller than me, a full foot smaller than me, has the same inseam as I do. So I'm all torso. Like when I sit on a plane, when I go to a plane, you know, the headrest, that is my shoulder rest. My head is above that. I try to get the window seat so I could smush my head against the side of the bulkhead. Because otherwise I'm falling over on whoever's next to me. But no, yeah, my torso is huge. When I'm sitting in my wheelchair, I had to get a special back for the wheelchair so it would actually support my head. My wheelchair is nearly five foot something, which makes it fun when you go to a movie in your wheelchair and they have that special handicap seating. And I get in there and like five rows behind me can't see shit.
Aww.
And I'm like, that's what you get for having legs. How about you stand up? I can't. I love going to the movies these days. Anyway. So what was your – I have other Halloween costumes, but Lisa Marie, tell me one of your favorites. What have you been for Halloween?
So I have two gaming ones, and one was very lazy. I put together like a Lara Croft outfit, which is like a tank top and shorts and like – yeah. It was like a very last minute – you know what I mean? It's one of the easiest Halloween costumes, like video game Halloween costumes you could do.
Besides a New York werewolf.
No, I think there was effort that went into that. Like, it might have been cheap, but there was still effort. I can tell.
I had to explain it to everyone. So, yeah, there was some.
But one year, I went with my then boyfriend, and we went as Team Rocket Grunts from, like, the early Pokemon games. And we, like, thrifted, like, long-sleeve black shirts and, like, cargo pants and the belts and, like, hats that matched. And we got, like, red duct tape and, like, X-Acto knifed it into the shape of an R so that it would, like, look like the R and everything. We also got styrofoam balls and hand-painted them to look like a Pokeball, a Great Ball, a Master Ball, and an Ultra Ball. Like, we put this all together. We went to a party and someone in like full getup was like, what site did you order that from? Was it like a cosplaying site? And we were like, the thrift store? What? I don't know. So that was a fun one.
What site? You are like basically dressed up like Antifa for Halloween.
Yes.
Wait, what?
I feel like I'm just trying to pick, well, because like the old school like Team Rocket or like from the original games was like, I feel it was like, basically, like you're going to a.
They didn't have their face covered.
Oh, they didn't?
Did they look like James Cavazel?
It was literally like black and black cargo pants and like boots. And
yeah, it was like a turtleneck, black turtleneck, you know, red thing. And then later on, they got the white outfits.
Yeah. Hats.
It's sad because when I was growing up, there wasn't a lot of gaming icons to do. I've kind of like my children have been Mario and Luigi now. They were Mario and Luigi because I had twins and had to do that shit as a gamer. Everyone has to if you're a gamer. I mean, the other costume I wanted to do with them, they grew out of too quickly. I wanted to build myself a mech costume and have one of them be in the cockpit on my chest.
Aww.
But that they grow up so fast. Children grow up so fast, and what they're really trying to say is children grow up too fast to be mech pilots into your to your mech suit Halloween costume idea. Ethan, you found that to be true, right?
Yeah. Growing up, my mom was always great about she was always really into Halloween, great about getting us our costumes and stuff and making stuff. And now I have a 2-year-old and he's almost 2.5. And I'm like scrambling last minute to like get him a costume for his daycare parade. And like, I keep asking him, like, what do you want to be for Halloween? He has no idea what I'm even saying. He's just like, sore, rah, rah. And I'm just like, okay, please learn words.
I say that on Twitter a lot.
Me growing up, I think 3 years in a row I was a witch. I don't know how that came about. My mom was thrilled. Okay. So she just made me a witch for 3 years in a row. And then I at some point was a pirate, but then I was Link 1 year because I already had like a Robin Hood sort of green hat, and then we kind of went from there with the tunic and stuff. And then another year I was Chrono from Chrono Trigger, which, you know, back in like 95, like, good luck explaining that to all the neighbors. Like, oh, what? Samurai? All right, cool. And like, because my mom gave me her like leather boots, and then I had his like bluish green tunic thing and a belt, and like I had the samurai sword from the Halloween store. But then there was, I forget why, like, we got a wig that was it was like orange with like sort of black highlights in it, the opposite of highlights, negative, what,
low lights.
But we got like some really strong mousse and spiked all the hair, and it actually turned out like pretty good. And I was like extremely thrilled, just like so thrilled. I think because that was also the year I think like I played Chrono Trigger, and I was just like, this is the best game ever. I wrote like a diary entry about like the best things about it, and like super, super big into that. So it actually, it's all been downhill from there. That was the best Halloween. And now I think the last one, we went trick-or-treating in 10th grade still, which was a bad choice probably. We probably frightened a number of people.
Yeah.
But I was, that was right after the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. And I was a huge Jack Sparrow fan. So I was Jack Sparrow for Halloween. And then I think my friend was Antonio Banderas from the El Mariachi movies, and then our other friend was the letter E. He just taped a letter E to himself.
Oh God!
Because, you know, we were assholes in high school.
We were all assholes in high school.
Still assholes. Just grown ups now.
Did you steal people's candy or?
No. It was like the kind of thing. I think all our other friends were in band. And so it was like they were all at the football game traveling. Yeah. And like, they're, you know, they're always like, oh, we got to practice. We got to do this. They're like, yeah, okay, great. So it just like we went trick-or-treating in our other friend's neighborhood. And he was extremely Christian and so did not celebrate Halloween, but did give candy out. So we went and we got candy from him.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I trick-or-treated up until at least 10th grade. But I lived with a family at that point where I was dating. I was living with a family whose daughter I was dating. Her mother had adopted me, or not, became my legal guardian. That was it. So I could live at their house and go to their school. So it was me. She was 2 years younger than me. And her little brother was 2 years younger than me. So we had an excuse to go out trick-or-treating and get free candy. But I think, I mean, as far as Halloween costumes go, I'm trying to think back, and New York Werewolf always sticks in my mind. I know I was some kind of vampire ghoul at one point with a top hat. That was the year we realized I couldn't fit into regular Halloween costumes anymore from the shelf, so we made me a vampire. But most of my costumes have been for things like conventions, like sci-fi conventions I used to go, and back before they called it cosplay, they had masquerade costume contests. And I think my first masquerade contest costume was, I had a tunic and I had a helmet that I made from cardboard with some red see-through film. And I was a tunic, a cape, and the cardboard helmet. And my name was Dragoff Man. And I was part of a little troupe that would always end their skits, their masquerade skits, with someone dying. And then I'd come out to drag the body off. I was Dragoff Man. And then later I was the Greek warrior Testicles.
Classic.
Yeah, he fought against Vest Deference. No, he had a sidekick named Vest Deference who would sing his theme song, and he would try to save Princess Fallopia from Steve the Phoenician Ninja. So yeah, I kind of exercise my costuming in different ways. There is a picture somewhere of me as Silent Bob with my now spouse during a Halloween contest or party. So I think Silent Bob was my last big costume, and now I just dress up my children.
Oh, I do have one final Halloween costume story. When I was little, I used to love Halloween, not for the candy. I actually was never really into candy, and I would make my parents and aunts and uncles eat the candy.
Oh, while you were watching,
I was doing Body Horror,
Grey's Anatomy.
And I never really was into candy, like really sugary candy. But I was really into the dressing up aspect. And every year I would pick next year's costume, like on Halloween night. And I must have been like 5 or something. And I was like, next year I want to be a lobster. And I kept saying it. I was like, I'm going to be a lobster for Halloween. Don't forget. And this was like pre-internet. So my family had trouble finding like
a lobster. Nobody knew what a lobster looked like. What is she talking about?
What is this thing? You mean with butter?
So it was hard to find a lobster costume, apparently, in my size or whatever. And they couldn't just order one. So they had to like specially order it. Like they probably had to call someone and everything. And it was like expensive then. So they got me this expensive lobster costume. And they bring it out next Halloween. And I was like, I don't want to be a lobster. Gross. I hate this costume.
What have you done?
Kids suck so much. Don't.
Seriously. I think children are. You know what you should have gone as instead of a lobster, Lisa Marie?
What?
Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Actually, they got me a princess costume, and they did my hair really pretty.
A what? Apprentice? A
princess.
Oh, a princess. You should have merged the two together and been Princess Lobster Claws.
I think I wore it for a bit to appease them. They were pissed, as they should have been. Oh, my God. But then they got me a princess costume, and they did, like, my hair really pretty, and then I felt better.
On that note, we're going to bring our spooky Halloween edition of Kotaku Split Screen to a close with these dark thoughts and this something something, and then we're all going to be evil or something. I don't know how Halloween works anymore.
And then we're all going to be lobsters.
We're all going to be lobsters with butter and Cheddar Bay biscuits. You have been listening to Kotaku Split Screen Podcast. You can reach us via email at splitscreen@kotaku.com and on Twitter at Ethan Gatch. That's Ethan the Witch. At Lisa Marie _Lynn. That is Lisa Marie the Lobster. Lisa Lynn. Marie Lynn Lobster. That's LLL. You should have been that. Or me at Uncle Fahey, the New York Werewolf.org. Our producer is McKenna Heck. And our sound engineer is Ryan Allen. Thank you for listening.